Jamie and Walker with you here on The Green Zone. It is the eve of the 2026 CFL season. Let's get into it with Dave Naylor.
Football Hall of Fame writer, TSN Insider, and our pipeline to the NFL, CFL, and college ball. Here's Dave Naylor.
A CFL preview begins today with Dave Naylor. We're going to start with the West Division today. We'll look at the East Division tomorrow. But before we get into the West, top 50 list last night, Dave. Who was your biggest surprise from the CFL top 50?
Biggest surprise. I mean, maybe the Davis-Alexander was eight, and I got some notes from people saying, you know, hey, how can he be eight? That's not a credible list. And, hey, look, I mean, I had him fourth. And I think one of the hardest things to judge in the list is sample size of play. Davis-Alexander played eight regular season games. Kenny Lawler, who had his highest ever landing on our list at number three, played 18. You know, I guaranteed if those had been reversed, you know, the numbers would be very drastically different. So, yeah, you know, Davis-Alexander threw 10 touchdown passes last year. Bo Levi Mitchell threw 36. You know, that's why I had Bo Levi Mitchell number two on my list, and number four had and had Davis-Alexander at four. I mentioned this on air. The guy that I had higher than most other people had was Tyler Snead, you know, in Montreal, who, you know, I think really rose to the occasion, had a breakout year last year. He was at 40-something. I had him at 20, I think. So, you know, there's always some surprises. Maybe Chad Kelly at 24 is a little low for a guy who was the best player in the league the last time he had a full season, and I expect will be much higher when we do the list next year.
All right, so we're jumping in it to it. West preview, the Riders, Lions, Bombers, Stamps, all separated by two wins last year. Do you think we're going to have a similar situation in the parity side of things in the Western Division again next year, this year?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, when you just look across the division real quick and just say, okay, Saskatchewan's the defending Grey Cup champion. Calgary led the West for most of the season last year and, you know, has a lot more experienced staff. They had a lot of year one guys a year ago. BC Lions were, you know, a play away from going to the Grey Cup, and they've really, I think, made some, you know, kind of status quo on offense, which is fine because they scored like crazy last year, and made some improvements on defense. Winnipeg has had a very unlike Winnipeg offseason, where they've actually gone out and added some impact players rather than just trying to keep the band together and losing a few. So, and again, and they were, you know, still a playoff team a year ago. And then, you know, the Edmonton Elks, a team, again, lots of year one guys last year, year one coaching staff, and a team that really came on in the second half of the year last year. So I'm sure they feel like they want to carry that momentum. So I think you can make certainly playoff arguments for every single team in the West and better than that for most of them.
Okay, let's focus in on the Rough Riders. A lot of the returnees are on the offensive side of the ball. They lost a few All-Stars on the defensive side of the ball. So A.J. Allen leaves, Malik Kearney's gone, C.J. Revis is out. Do you think Josh Woods and James Vaughters are enough to have that defense click as well as they did last season to help the Riders win a Grey Cup?
On their own, no. And I think this is what behooves CFL teams when you lose players, and their front seven is, you know, been significantly picked over, right? I think that was the one area of Saskatchewan you look at and say, wow, that's going to be really different this year. But you know, you've got a defensive-minded head coach in Corey Mace and Josh Bell, as you mentioned, taking over the play calling. You know, those are decent additions. Vaughters kind of had a, you know, a late career, that was a breakout season last year, but certainly a strong season with Winnipeg. But ultimately, you know, some of the guys that have been reserved, some of the guys that have made the team as American street free agents, you're going to need some of those guys to emerge. I think one of the things that really maybe softens the blow of the front seven in Saskatchewan and all that is this might be the best secondary in the league. It probably is. And it's consistent from a year ago. And that's been a, you know, I think a real hallmark of Saskatchewan's defense. So as we often know, pressure and coverage kind of work in sync. And if coverage can give you a little extra half beat to get to the quarterback by locking guys down, you know, that can take some of the pressure off your front seven, trying to get pressure on the quarterback. But, you know, you've still got some veterans there, you know, in Mike Rose, who certainly had, you know, an impact last year. And, And although they have, you know, I mean, you just go through the names of the players that are gone. I mean, between Micah Johnson's retirement, Baldonado gone, Carney gone. I mean, there's definitely going to be impact players. So I wouldn't say those two guys on their own, but I think there is an argument that Saskatchewan, especially with that strength on the back end, you know, will still be good on defense this season.
So Nathan Rourke makes the top of the CFL's top 50 list. And a lot of people believe that the Lions are favorites to win this season. Do you agree? Win it all.
Yeah, I think I certainly can make that case. And, you know, there was a time last year from about, you know, mid-August on, where it felt like if the other team didn't put up 30, the Lions were going to win. And, you know, they lost Jarrell Broxton off the offensive line. They gave up the fewest sacks in the league last year. You know, Nathan Rourke had the time. And I think we really saw, I kind of had a prediction for Nathan Rourke last year. You may remember this early on, Jamie, because you weren't touting Nathan in week one, right?
Wasn't touting Nathan. He just wasn't on my top 40 ballot because he missed so much time and was mediocre in 2024. But I could see that he could do great things. But anyways, we don't need to rehash that old debate.
And back in the top 50, it is sort of a whole thing. Like, how much are you predicting this guy's year? How much you're going off last year? You know, how much is your gut instinct about what he's going to be? And my gut instinct about Nathan Rourke last year was that, you know, he really put the National Football League behind him. I think that was a real distraction when he first came back for the league, as it is for many players when they come back and the disappointment and what he's kind of, I think if you listen to some of the things he said about that, he doesn't feel very good about that overall experience. But I think we saw something in him this year that when you're the 27-year-old reigning most outstanding player quarterback of the CFL and he didn't do a single NFL workout. And that's not because there wouldn't have been opportunities. I guarantee you there would have been opportunities. He did not go do the circus to try to hang on to the bottom of an NFL roster. He's completely focused on the BC Lions and the Canadian Football League. And I think that's what we saw kind of evolve in him a year ago. And then, you know, you saw the Lions really have a breakout elite receiver in Keon Hatcher, right? A guy who I believe was number 5 on our list, and I'm not sure he was on the top 50 a year ago. You know, led the league in receiving, led the league in yards after catch, led the league in targets. So it's not like the other team, you know, doesn't know he's getting the ball. They lost Aiden Eberhardt to free agency through Ottawa, but this is still, you know, I think James Butler, again, had lots to prove going back to BC. So offensively, they're going to score like crazy. Defensively, you know, they've gone out and they've made some additions. And Darnell Sankey, I think, you know, being the biggest one, as a guy who plugged into the middle of that defense in Montreal and, you know, really had a presence when he came back to the league in that year where Montreal won the Grey Cup. And that's the biggest upgrade that they make. But when you look at Matthew Betts as, you know, maybe the best defensive lineman in the league, and you look at what Sankey gives them, they've got certainly some experience on the back end. Again, it's probably not a defense that's going to have to hold teams to under 14 points to win games. And so given what I just said and with the Lions, how close they were a year ago, I think BC is a smart pick to win the West this year.
Our West preview with Dave Naylor continues with a look at Edmonton, Calgary, and Winnipeg next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We continue our West Division preview with our CFL insider, Dave Naylor. Let's take a stop in Edmonton. The Elks have never played a playoff game since the name change. Dave, do you think they have what it takes to end the drought?
I think Edmonton's going to climb back in the playoffs this year. I think this is the Elks bubble changes. And I'm going off momentum from last year. You know, I think they've also got an emerging star on offense in Justin Rankin, a guy who's got explosive play ability. A guy who can catch the ball. And you know, there aren't that many running backs that can really qualify as game breakers. You know, you see, Brady Oliveira, somebody like that is kind of like he's kind of got both qualities. You know, he can be the grinded out guy, and then every once in a while he hits a big one. But I think Rankin has that kind of explosive ability that not many players at his position have. And then, you know, when you look at the receiving core, what they've added in a player like Austin Mack, frankly, who people didn't think was going to be available, a guy like that, you know, and with what Joe Robustelli did in Saskatchewan last year, I think he was a very, very efficient player. The defense last year was a story of, I mean, with the same personnel, the defense last year, first half was a disaster. The second half was pretty good. And, again, a lot of new personnel on that defense. First-time defensive coordinator in J.C. Sherratt, who's, you know, back on the job. So I think when you look at the sort of maturation of both the coaching staff and the personnel on defense and the way they played better in the second half like last year, I feel like, and the, again, 1-4 start and made the quarterback change, and we're still in the hunt late in the season. So I'm going to say the Edmonton Elks name playoff jinx will be over.
Okay, and we'll head south to Calgary. Stampeders, Vernon Adams Jr., Reggie Begleton, still hurt. Do you think the Stamps can keep pace, especially at the front end of the season with the Riders and the Lions in the West Division?
Yeah, I mean, Calgary was the big surprise team, of course, a year ago. You know, they won 11 games, led the division for much of the year, and, you know, ran a kind of different kind of offense. I think trying to protect Vernon Adams a little bit, where they were run heavy, right? They were the most run heavy offense in the league. Dedrick Mills wins the rushing title. And, you know, they played a very physical style of football. Now, they've got some changes around the playmakers. I mean, Dominique Rimes is retired. Damian Alford's in the NFL, although I expect that he'll be a guy that they'll probably get back around Labor Day. I think the big X player for them is Dejon Brissett, you know, who they signed to a decent free agent contract. He was a guy who's a number two pick of the draft, I believe, you know, 2019 or 2020. Had a breakout year with the Argos last year. Didn't quite hit 1,000 yards, but, you know, got over 900. And as a Canadian going in there, as a guy who's, you know, a decent pedigree and really ascending, he'll be one of the players, I think, you know, going to complement Tyson Philpott, Clark Barnes. But when you look at sort of, you mentioned Begleton, I remember him getting hurt in week one last season. I was standing on the sidelines at BMO Field, happened right in front of me. So with question marks around those guys, I think Dejon Brissett becomes, you know, a real sort of question. A big thing for them, getting Jalen Hutchins back from the NFL. I mean, he was a beast last year. Most of his metrics, you know, were top of the league. You know, I think the Stamps are going to be stout on defense. You know, the question is the offense going to be able to maintain the same kind of thing? Will Vernon Adams stay healthy? Can Dedrick Mills, you know, who I don't think we thought of as an elite back going into last season, but leads the league in rushing. And then, as I said, Dejon Brissett. So some questions on offense. But I think they're going to be a team that, you know, is going to keep games close with the way their defense can play.
So as we put a wrap on our West preview, it sounds like you like BC and Saskatchewan and Edmonton making the playoffs. Question mark around Calgary. Does that mean you also have a question mark around the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Dave?
I do have a question mark around the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, just because of the direction that team kind of has been trending over the last few years. And look, I love Zach Collaros. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's been a great asset for our league. But how many games he can start this year? I would think if he plays 13 or 14 and you're Winnipeg, you got to be happy just with the nicks that he's taken and the accumulation and his age. And then the question is, what do you have behind him? What's Taylor Algersma going to bring if Zach Collaros is out for an extended period of time? You're basically starting over when you come back to this game. Yes, he's played three down football. Yes, he's got a big arm. Yeah, he looks like a pro football quarterback. But, you know, if they've got to rely on him, I think that's a big question. And then, you know, I think the Jake Ceresna addition is a big one for them. I think Winnipeg can have a decent year, but I think they're vulnerable.
Interesting stuff from Dave Naylor on a West preview tomorrow. He'll give us his Grey Cup prediction. I wonder if he's going to have Ottawa back in the Grey Cup like he had last year.
I don't think he will.
Do you think Britain will have Ottawa back in the Grey
Cup? Well, we know Britain's going Riders, right?
Yes, he is. Okay. He's picking the Riders as a repeat. Oh, by the way, the Blitz podcast, you can check it out. We recorded it late last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Blitz podcast is Canada's fastest growing CFL podcast.
Well, a good Wednesday afternoon. Locker and I were just checking out the new uniforms for the BC Lions. They announced new road jerseys. Please.
Is it just me?
Turn around. Turn around, Locker.
What?
Producer Scott is giving up the perfect sign for the BC Lions. What do they call it? The Pacific Frost jerseys.
I think they're awful. Like, it's a weird white.
No, it's just
like
white.
Like, it hurts your eyes.
It's just very white, but it's white. So they got, remember last year, if you remember, their away jerseys were those like dull gray things. I didn't mind a little imagination, but it looked like someone forgot to do the laundry or mixed the laundry together with colors and it got a little weird.
I don't mind the, I don't know what it is. They're
so
too white.
So they have the white, but then they have like silver pants, right? So silver numbers, silver pants, white helmet. Kind of reminds me of the stormtrooper look the Saskatchewan Roughriders had a few years ago.
Yeah.
Was that the 2013
season? They got silver
season?
Pants, they got white socks. I don't mind the piping around.
I remember Corey Sheets was in all white, so it would have been in that 2012-2013 area. But the BC Lions will be wearing those.
Pacific Frost.
Pacific Frost. At Green Zone SK, if you want to take a peek.
I don't know.
At the Pacific Frost jerseys of the BC Lions.
You don't like them?
I guess it's a silver helmet, silver pants, silver numbers, white jersey.
You don't like them?
Well, the Keon Hatcher photo looks a lot better than the Nathan Rourke one they had on social media. Like when you can actually see, like there's some pictures where it was almost whited out. The pants were whited out and they looked like white on white on white.
Yeah.
But now that you can see a little bit more of the
numbers.
The numbers.
Well, they got the orange around the numbers too, yeah. Which I don't mind.
Okay. They're winning me over a little bit.
Okay. All right.
That initial look, I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I had a very similar sort of reaction. It's not moving the needle much for me though.
BC Lions fans, I'm just looking at their social media, just checking out BC Lions because you want to see the comments.
Do they like them?
Someone just said, take my money. That's all they said. So they must like them.
Okay. I very rarely agree with producer Scott on jerseys and design. Very rarely.
He's our jersey guy.
Okay. Was just arbitrarily decided?
Yes.
Okay, all right, okay. I can get behind that.
He believes himself. He's got the confidence. He's got the swagger to believe that he is a jersey expert on what is good and what is bad.
Well, he is the design guy for the Green Zone as well. Canva expert.
So, he's doing a bang-up job.
He is, yes, yes, he is.
Self-trained, too. It's quite impressive. So
gets his stuff done quick, too.
So Scott gives it
graphic designer.
Two thumbs up.
/ producer.
Two thumbs up for the Pacific Frost jerseys.
When you got an eye for design, they throw these things at you, Scotty.
Although people are joking that if they come to Saskatchewan and the Riders are wearing the Obsidian jerseys and they're wearing that, like,
no one's going to be able to see who's on the field.
Prayers up to the broadcasters trying to call the game and trying to differentiate the numbers.
Well, I think these ones might be a little bit easier to see than the
Obsidian of the orange green outline.
Well, because, yeah, they kind of highlighted it, right? I was thinking that as well. I was wondering if the broadcasters would, not that they matter, but wondered if the broadcasters would.
Oh, that photo of Nathan Rourke with the visor on? Okay, I'm starting to be won over here on the new away jerseys for the BC Lions.
Second look, maybe.
Yeah.
Coming around a bit. I don't like that. They get dirty.
You're worried about laundry? You're worried about the equipment guys having to do laundry to get the grass stains out.
Ha! No.
So they should all wear dark gray and black?
I don't know. You just want something
to hide the grass stains?
I've never gotten white. You will never, ever see me in a pair of white pants. It's just never going to happen. If I'm in a pair of white pants, call the police.
What about white vehicles?
No. I had a white vehicle once. I had a Jetta. Awful decision. Not a white fan.
Why is that? We don't need to dig into reasons why, but
you probably are thinking
any speck of dirt on that thing would drive Locker insane.
Well, there's another reason too. About once a year.
Just Anyways, but
white pants were a bad idea.
See, I have the white golf pants. I have not white, but I have like light colored golf shorts, those types of things. And then there's always that black marking and where you go, how did that even happen? I don't even remember touching it.
Exactly.
But DC's going white. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone with your fashion advice. But also,
yeah, we should say that out loud. I mean, this is the last show to get any advice on fashion.
Hey, whoa, Drew Remenda might still be listening.
Okay, well, Drew might be an exception to the rule. You and I look like we still shop at Kmart.
What's wrong with Kmart?
Nothing's wrong with Kmart, Jamie. You look great.
It's affordable, durable clothing. Like Kirk Cousins, whose wife still dresses him, apparently, which is hilarious.
You and I, when we dress up, we just look like 13-year-olds that got forced to put a shirt on.
the only polo they have with a collar.
Wear something fancy, Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, I looked good yesterday. I don't know about you, but I was looking fresh for that lunch.
Right out of the Sears catalog.
Hey, it's durable again, and affordable.
Durable and affordable.
Coming up next, the Stanley Cup Final was a go last night. Game number one went the way of the Vegas Golden Knights. Their coach doesn't have a contract after this year. He was signed for 9 days or 9 games in the playoffs. And here he is with a 24-1 record. The curious case of John Tortorella. What should his future be? Should it be in Vegas, Edmonton, Toronto, or should he retire? If he wins the Stanley Cup, just ride off into the sunset, John. Take that big paycheck from the Vegas Golden Knights for your Stanley Cup bonus and, you know,
what do you
adopt
think
a couple more dogs.
I bet you it's $1 million. He's getting his pay. Was it Daryl Davis yesterday who said, I think Daryl Davis mentioned something to us about per round.
No, that was Drew.
Was it Drew?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So if he's getting, but I don't think it's per round. I think they said, listen, if you get us the Stanley Cup, we'll give you an extra $1 million.
Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. What do you do with John Tortorella? And if you're an Edmonton Oiler or Toronto Maple Leaf fan, do you want your general manager to wait this out to maybe interview John in, what, 3 games when they sweep the Carolina Hurricanes?
You know what's weird? Because we mentioned this earlier, okay? You said, we talked about this at the front end of the show, Jamie. And you said, would you want Torts to coach your team? We didn't get one negative text. Everyone's like, absolutely. Here, you and I are thinking about
2 months ago, we asked that question. People would be like, are you nuts? Why would you want John Tortorella to be the coach of your team?
But we're thinking about this from the perspective of chaos in Toronto. That's what you and I are excited about. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't this be fantastic? Patrick Wall would be an excellent hire in Toronto from that regard as well. But you know what? Legit, for some reason, I want the chaos because it's Toronto. It's the Leafs. It's Leafs Nation.
Do you see John Tortorella working with John Chyka? Not a chance. Would that go well?
No, that's not going to go well.
Jamie and Locker with you.
That's a good point.
What do you think?
You just killed it.
The future of John Tortorella. Well, where should he end up next? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon.
You know what's interesting about that email, text from Jason? He's like, the Oilers won't be able to talk to Torts. The Knights will block it. But their contract ends at the end of the season, and they might still block Cassidy from talking to teams.
Well, that came up yesterday with Bill Daly and Gary Bettman on their State of the League news conference and all the questions, and someone brought it up, and Bill Daly said about the Bruce Cassidy contract, saying there's nothing in there that we can do anything about. There's other contracts, and he noted this.
Yeah.
He said there's other contracts in the league that are written in a certain way that wouldn't allow Vegas
to
a team to block a coach from interviewing. But Bruce did not have that clause in his contract.
Another reason just to hate that organization. Just like,
well, no, Bruce, agent, come on. Be better. You got to put that clause in. If you fire me, you can't block me from interviewing. That's the clause.
We'll go back to my, there's a way to do business where you don't have to be brutal, right? Take care of your people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Take care of your people.
I'll be interested.
If your number one goal is to win, I get that. But at the same time, there's a way you can conduct business and get through in life with not being a complete a-hole. You can do it. You can do it at this level. Just you and I at work together. You don't have to be a jackwagon, right? You can also do it in business. And you know what? You can be very successful in business. You don't have to be like that. You don't, every relationship that the Vegas Golden Knights ends poorly. Why? Because they're awful people. I'm sorry. That's the way they do business. I would never want to work or play for that organization.
Well, here's what I'm interested in going forward is how long it takes for people to stop doing business with Vegas.
It's going to start happening more and more. They're going to start isolating them.
And I'm wondering about that, which is, all right, you're going to play by those rules. We're not going to give you permission. And it
look what's happening.
What goes around comes around.
Around the world right now. You've got countries. What are they doing? They're cutting the U.S. out. They're, you know what? They're the biggest trading partner in the world. We can't control anything that this guy says or does. It changes by the second. They're just cutting him out. They're excluding him, and they're trying to work around him. Now, there's going to be some pain in that process, but that process is underway.
Well, and
one of the ringleaders is the leader of this country.
So we'll see where that goes in the National Hockey League on
cut him
doing
out.
Business with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Just the phone rings. Don't answer it.
Want to make a deal?
Nope.
But that's the thing. They'll get it. Mitch Marner, Toronto made a deal with him. Might have handed him a Stanley Cup by that trade with Mitch Marner rather than, you know, go about the free agent pool and everything else. And but it sounded like Mitch was going to Vegas anyways. He had the realtor
working. Yeah, I don't think anything was stopping that.
Just right? Like Connor McDavid in Montreal.
Stop it.
Westmount, apparently.
He's on vacation.
He went to the F1 race.
He took the dog for a walk.
F1 race in Montreal, checked out some new homes. Westmount, Brossard, very nice neighborhoods in Montreal. Good young team with more than enough cap space to afford $12.5 million.
No, I'm not biting. Stop it.
Come on. It's fishing season.